take this opportunity to encourage you guys to think about the retreat just a little bit more before I even, you know, go into the passage for today. And allow me to spend just a little bit of time by first introducing the speaker once again, especially for those who were not here 2 Sundays ago. Remember, like, she was here, you know, speaking, all that. So this year, Pastor Kelly Brown, a pastor, you know, who's in the process of getting ordained in the Presbyterian Church here in Seattle, will be our speaker. And let me simply read off her bio to you so that you can get to know her a little bit just from the bio that she sent me, right? And here we go. Pastor Kelly Brown is originally from Columbus, Georgia. And after many years of ministry, she relocated to the Seattle area to attend Seattle University School of Theology and Ministry, where she completed her Master of Divinity. Kelly enjoys many aspects of ministry, but feels particularly called to multicultural and interfaith ministry, ministry through music, discipleship training, and ministry of reconciliation. She's a proud mother of her daughter, whom you guys have met 2 Sundays ago, Indigo. Okay? Now, I believe she would be a good speaker for us this August because of her background and her passion for God. And for those of you who were here that Sunday, you know, I'm sure that all of you guys could sense that she's really on fire for Jesus. And not only that, from my interaction, you know, from my limited interaction with her, you know, I noticed that she has a really strong passion for social justice and community services. And this is something I really hope that we as a congregation here at SFCC can grow into, that we're not just a bunch of people gathering on Sundays just to worship or on weekdays for fellowship and Bible studies, but we're a group of people who loves God and loves this community as we're not only taught to talk, but we also walk and live out our faith. All right? So I believe Pastor Kelly, you know, can help us grow further into that. So now, having said that, let's talk about the retreat itself, right? And let's have a little interaction here. Why are we having a retreat? Shout it out. Tell me. Why are we having the retreat? Because it's fun. It is fun. You know, it's just, let me guarantee that. Okay? What else? Like, why? Why are we having the retreat? Don't be shy. We're all brothers and sisters. You know, just shout it out loud. Come on. Anybody on this side? Okay, how about this side first? Why are we having the retreat? Reflection, all right. This side, why are we having the retreat? Cup noodles, all right. That is huge, okay. Okay, again, this side, why are we having the retreat? Come on, you got to be better than that. There's no right or wrong answers here. No? But you want to, like, what? Huh? Bonding, okay. Why are we having the retreat? To enjoy the outdoors. All right. Well, that's all good. And, you know, that's all good. And here's my hope and my prayer for the retreat this summer. You see, a retreat, by definition, is an opportunity for us to remove ourselves away from the usual environment so that we can focus on a specific subject, right? And it is different from a vacation in a sense that we're not going to a place for our own sake. We're going to a place for God and for each other. That's why we're having a retreat together. That's the main reason, is for God and for each other. And if you're going to a retreat just to hang out, you know, just to play your eye touches or iPods, or just try to stay up all night, you know, eating cup noodles and playing cards, I mean, that's fine, but you'll be missing out a lot. Instead, take this opportunity to spend time with God. I know a lot of you guys are doing a lot of homework or work and all that, and all this year you guys have been so busy and you guys haven't had the chance to really be still with God this year. Then take that opportunity to spend time with God. And not only that, take this opportunity to connect with those that you don't normally connect with in the church. Make it a goal. You know, just let me say this. Make it one goal to get to know at least one person that you don't normally talk to during this retreat. You know, make that as a goal. You know, that you don't, I mean, you know, talk to that person, get to know that person, like, know that person's interest, know what he likes or dislikes, know her hobbies. You know, a lot of times in a church setting, I mean, we're not a big church, but a lot of times in a small church setting, we can be so close to each other and yet be so distant from each other at the same time. You know what I mean? So take this time to connect with one another. You know, think about it. We'll be spending 3 days two nights together. That's how many hours? How many hours is that? Not 72, because that's like three full days, right? Is it 72? No, right? It's roughly that. I mean, think about it. 72 hours or less, you know, we'll be spending with each other. And also take this time to get to know the person, to learn to love one another. And I think this is what also the retreat is about, right? So think about the retreat that way. So let us go to the summer retreat this, you know, this August with such mentality and such attitude. Let's go there to meet God, and let's go there to connect with one another. Can we say that together? Let's go there to meet God, and let's go there to connect with one another. Amen? All right. So having said that, let's now change gear for a little bit and focus on the passage for today. I will be speaking from Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. And if you have a Bible with you, please turn to that, you know, that passage, or you can simply read it off on the bulletin. And before we read the passage together, let me just say that I have dedicated today's message for the graduates, right? For you guys, right? This is a message I've written for you guys. I believe God has something to say to you guys. But also, it's for those who are in the journey of life, for we are all enrolled in this big school of life. So it applies to everybody, okay? So having said that, let's now turn to our passage for today from Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. And as always, let us read this passage out loud, together in unison, starting from verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Well, Father, in a time of celebration and excitement, we once again recognize that no matter where we are in life, we're all part of this journey in which you have called us to. A journey of life that is filled with ups and downs, sweet victories, and bitter defeats. And therefore, as we travel together as brothers and sisters, let us come to your word and ask for wisdom. May your word speak truthfully and powerfully to each of us today. And let us not walk away without being challenged and moved by what you have to say to each of us. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, graduation is an exciting time, isn't it? You know? I'm sure that some of you grads have already gone through the ceremonies, right? I mean, either the ceremonies or you guys have gone through that, right? I mean, John, Isaac, do you guys have ceremonies? Yeah, all right. So you guys have gone through that. But I want you and everyone else to recall the time when you were still in school, right? Just think about the time when you were still in school. For those who have graduated already, just think about that time when you were still in school. Remember like how graduation is something that we all look forward to for many years. You know, how many of us have heard yourself or heard other people say, "I just can't wait to graduate so that I can do this and that," right? We have all the plans laid out for us. Well, guess what? For many of you, at least for those four, you know, high school grads and for, you know, some of you guys, this is a time. This is time for you to execute those plans. This is time for you to explore the world. And for the rest of us, perhaps some of us, you guys are in transition too. Perhaps some of you have been working for some time, right? And then now is the time to maybe move to a different field or to study further. Or perhaps some of you guys have moved from a new city to Seattle or are moving away, you know, for school or something. Or perhaps some of you guys are getting married, right? Or some of you guys are expecting a child. Or some of you are planning to have a child. No matter what, no matter where we are in life, life is always full of surprises, isn't it? I hope that the passage today can give us a few biblical insights on how to live life and live well, and live it well. And that's the reason why I entitled today's message as Life with God, Life with God. And there are three things or three lessons that I hope that we can all learn from the passage that we just read. So here's the first lesson. And feel free to follow along with me in your bulletin or to fill in the blanks, right? Here's the first lesson. And that is, God wants to be involved in our life more than we can imagine. God wants to be involved in our life more than we can imagine. Right? So that's the blank for you guys to fill in. In the passage that we just read earlier from Mark, we see that the disciples were trying to keep the children away from Jesus. You guys see that? The disciples were like, you know, they're trying to keep the children away from coming to Jesus. Verse 13 says, go back to verse 13 with me. Verse 13 says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples, what did they do? They rebuked them. They rebuked them. Now, rebuke is a strong word. This tells us that the disciples did not just quietly say, hey, little guys, you know, don't disturb the master, you know, come back another time. They're not saying that. Instead, they rebuked them. They're like, butt off, kids. Can you see the master is busy? Now, that's the kind of tone that was, you know, instilled in this passage. Well, of course, the disciples, they probably thought that their master was really busy, right? So that he could not be disturbed. And a lot of times in life, there are people, in fact, let me say this, a lot of times in life, there will always be people who will try to keep you from coming to God. There might be people, you know, with good intention. Or there might be people, you know, who come with evil thoughts, who say, you know, just don't come to God. You know, come to me. I mean, I can talk about a lot of the distraction or the temptations and all that. And also, sometimes we ourselves are actually the ones keeping ourselves from getting to Jesus. For we all have the tendency to think that God is too big or he's too busy, you know, to even be involved with our tiny little life, you know. Mentally, we tell ourselves, oh, come on, this is God that we're talking about. This is not just anybody else. This is God, the creator of the universe. I mean, look at all the problems that he has to deal with every single day. The oil spill, the economy, the earthquakes, and all the wars that's going on. You know, even the soccer that's happening in Africa. I mean, God has to deal with all of that, right? And there's an inner voice that we tell our minds, and we say to ourselves, hey, kiddo, God is too busy for you right now. And sometimes we say that to ourselves. We are the ones keeping ourselves from coming to God. But there's nothing that's further away from the truth when we think that God doesn't care about us. The truth is, God does care. In fact, he cares about each of you very much. He wants to be involved in your life. Whether you're graduating from school, whether you're getting a promotion, you're starting a new job, whether you're moving to a new city, whether you're getting married, whether you're expecting a child, God is always, always there wanting to be a part of your life. In fact, the Bible says, God's thoughts toward us, they're like the sand of the sea. Psalm 139, verse 18. You guys hear that? His thoughts towards us, like they're like sand. You know, I began to really first understand what this verse means ever since I became a father myself. When Ian was born, something just happened. I don't know how to describe it. Something just happened inside me. Sometimes I just can't control myself. You know, I just can't stop telling people, look at this, you know, this is Ian. You know, if I have Ian there, I was like, this is Ian, right? Or I would show them photos. Or I would tell them about, you know, what's going on with Ian right now. Or I would show them about, you know, like the progress he's making. By the way, he's crawling now, you know. And then he's like, you know, putting his hands, you know, on a little rail. And then he's like this. You know, hold on, he's standing up by himself. And then very soon he's going to go like, you know, crab walking. And very soon he's going to be walking and everything. You know, that's Ian, my son. And what I'm trying to say is, this bond that I have with Ian, that I share with my son, and the desire of wanting to be with him, you know, I want to give him my whole world. This is the most amazing feelings that I've ever gotten in life. I love Ian so much that sometimes it hurts. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, you love your child so much, it hurts. I don't know how to describe it. It just simply hurts. You just love the little guy so much. But here's the thing. My love for Ian does not even come close to God's thoughts towards you. Do you know that you're never out of his thoughts? Do you guys know that? Some of you guys need to hear that today. You know, I think about Ian a lot, but it's nothing compared to God's thoughts towards us. He thinks about you day and night, and his thoughts towards you, they're like sand. In fact, he loves you so much that he even sent his son to die for you, just so that he, you know, you may know he cares about you. So that's a very That's the kind of God that we worship. That's the kind of God that we sing to. He's always there welcoming us with his open arms, just like the way he does with the little children. He wants to be involved in our life more than we can ever imagine. So that's the first lesson we learn from verse 13. Here comes the second lesson from the passage, and that is, life begins with God, not after graduation. Let me say that again. Life begins with God and not after graduation. I don't know why we think this way as human beings, but as you know, a lot of times we tend to think that once we graduate, you know, once we reach certain stage in life, once we get this job promotion, once we get married, or once we have kids, then that's when life really begins. You know, we can't wait to graduate. We can't wait to do the things we want to do. We just want to be Mr. or Mrs. Independent. And if we look at the passage in Mark, we'll see that this is exactly how the disciples think about life as well. They think that they're the only ones who have life. But the little ones, oh, you guys are too young. You guys are too dependent upon, you know, your parents. You guys are too needy. But Jesus begged to differ. From verse 14 we read, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was angry. He said to the disciples, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I mean, did you hear that? Jesus says, let the little ones come to me, for kingdom belongs to those little ones. In other words, true life begins and ends with God. You know, you can graduate from high school, you can get your master's, you can get your doctor's, you can get multiple degrees. You can have all your freedom and ability to make a life for yourself. You can excel in your career. You can become successful in the eyes of the world. You can do whatever you want to do and obtain all the good things that this life, this world has to offer. But Jesus says this. He says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world? And then what? To lose himself. What's the point of pursuing all these things and then end up losing the most important thing in life, your soul? Life begins with God. Or let me put it this way. Or let me put it more specifically. Abundant life begins with God. Of course, you and I, we can have life, right? Without God. I mean, we can have our own life, but it's not going to be the kind of life that God wants for you. Instead, Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. This is the abundant life that Jesus is speaking of here. And such life doesn't begin after graduation or a job promotion, you know, or some certain stage that you have achieved in life. It begins with God. So all you grads out there, all you high school grads especially out there, I know you guys are excited. You guys are ready, you know, to meet the next challenge in life. But remember, life begins with God. You know, college is a time, you know, like, I don't know, for those of you guys who have graduated from college, but for those who are entering to college, let me say this to you. College is a time, is really a time where you can really meet and experience God. And, you know, I speak this from my own experience, all right? But college is also a time where you can easily forget about God altogether. If you're going out of state for school, find a church. Find a fellowship. Find a campus ministry. Be involved with a group of people who are committed to Jesus. If there's a parting word of advice I can give you as your pastor, that's it. Don't go to a place without God there. Life begins with God, not after graduation. So that's the second lesson that we learn. Okay? Here comes the third and the final lesson. And that is, we can only have such an abundant life by first becoming a child. We can only have such an abundant life by first becoming a child. I'll let you write that down. And now focus on the next two verses with me. From verse 15 to 16 we read, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. You know, what Jesus just did and said in that two verses is so contrary to the way we think about life a lot of times. Most of us, we believe that good life is achieved or obtained by having everything together. And this is even true for the Christian life, right? We believe that in order to be a good Christian, We need to do this and we need to do that. We need to go to church on Sundays. We need to pray. We need to read the Bibles. You know, we need to be active in our small groups and fellowships. And if we're not with people, then we need to have the fruit of the Spirit. We need to have self-control. We need to be thankful all the time and need to get rid of all these bad habits and not fall into temptations. You know, guys, I am just so glad that God does not expect me to do all these things to come to Him, because He knows that I will fail. I will fail. In fact, God only asks one thing from us, and that is to come to Him as a child. Come to Him as a child. No one enters the kingdom of God unless He comes to me as a child. You do not go to the kingdom of God. You do not find God by going to church. You do not find God by reading this word. You do not find God by immersing yourself in theology. You find God first by coming to Him as a child. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray. I'm not saying that we shouldn't read the Bible or shouldn't serve the church. No, I'm not saying that. All the things that we do as Christians, they're very important. But they will not get us to God. That's my point. Remember the words that we hear in Matthew 7 where Jesus says this. Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and do all these miracles? But remember what Jesus said to them? He said, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me. You know, we tend to think that the Christian life is all about what we do or what we say. But all God ever wanted from us is this childlike heart where we come to God and we say, God, I'm your child. I come as I am. You see, we can do all these religious Christian things and still miss God together. You know, we can all serve. We can go to mission trip. We can go there multiple times and we can still miss God. You know, remember that big brother from the parable of the prodigal son? Where Pastor Solomon just preached a couple weeks ago, he was doing all these religious things, but he missed the Father. Unless you become a child, meaning unless you give up the desire to prove yourself, unless you come empty-handed, unless you come knowing that there's nothing you can do that can make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do that can make God love you less, unless you come with such an attitude, there's no part of kingdom of God in you. God says to you and me, you want to have an abundant life? This is how. Come to me as a child. Come. And come humbly. Lay down your pride. Lay down the voice within you which says, I can do this on my own. I can prove it. Lay all those down and just come. Come to God as a child. That's where everything begins and ends. So to all the grads, congratulations. You have reached a great milestone in your life. And we're cheering you on, you know, as you guys move forward to the next challenge in life. In life, remember, there will always be people, or maybe yourselves, who will keep you away from coming to God. But God wants to be involved in your life more than you can ever imagine. Not only so, remember that life begins with God. And that you can only have such a life, which He promised, by coming to Him as a child. And although for those grads, you know, especially for those who are living out of town, although we'll be seeing you guys, you know, for the next few weeks or months to come, we're sending you guys off today. And remember, no matter where you are, there will always be a home for you here at SFCC. Remember that, all right? May God bless the preaching of His word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so self-righteous sometimes. We're so full of ourselves. For all you ever ask of us is to come before you and say, Abba, Daddy, I'm here. That's all you ever want from us. And Lord, we want to come before you. We want to lay down our pride, our self-righteousness. We want to lay down the voice that tells us that we can prove it. We want to come before you humbly. Because you say those who come to you as children will receive the kingdom of heaven. It's not so much a reward that we're after. For God, Father, you are the reward itself. Thank you for the passage. Thank you for the word. And thank you for the encouragement and the reminder. Amen.